Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Supreme Court of the State of South Dakota, the Honorable David Gilbertson presiding, is now open for the transaction of any business that may legally come before it.
Good morning. The first case for oral argument this morning is the City of Rapid City versus Pennington County. For the appellant, Rapid City is Jason E. Green, an assistant city attorney from Rapid City. And for the appellee, Pennington County, is Mr. Tobin Karn, a special deputy state's attorney. The appellant may proceed.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Jason Green. I'm assistant city attorney with Rapid City. And on behalf of the city, I thank the court for the opportunity to present oral argument today. This case presents a question of first impression for this court and a question of the application of this court's precedent. The factual dispute that underlies this case involves the location of a jail in a residential area. Pennington County owns some property located at 703 Adams Street in Rapid City. That property is wholly within the corporate limits of the City of Rapid City. The county decided to convert that property to a jail facility to use as a work release center. However, the city has zoned the property for medium density residential use. That's a typical residential use classification in the zoning ordinance in Rapid City. A jail facility is not a permitted use in a medium density residential zoning district.
What's the property currently being used for?
Currently, the property is being used as a work release center.
What's the difference?
Well, the difference is that before this lawsuit, they had to ask the city's permission to do that. City declined to give them permission to do that, and they went ahead anyway.
So what relief are you seeking? You want them evicted?
We don't want them evicted. They certainly have the right to use the property for valid county purposes that are consistent with the city's zoning ordinance.
Residential
or other uses that may be appropriate in a residential zoning district. But a jail is not compatible with residential use. It's not a permitted use in any residential zoning district in Rapid City.
How long ago did it become residential zoning?
I'm not sure. The property is surrounded on three sides by residential homes. The whole area to the north, to the east, and to the west is a residential district. It's been that way as long as I can remember.
I know because I live in Rapid City that was a juvenile court facility started back in the 1970s, and then it was a juvenile detention facility after that for a long, long time until the new detention facilities were built out on Highway 79. So did the city have an exception for it when it was those facilities, but now it's changed its view? Or how was the county allowed to have this as all these different types of facilities in this residential area?
We have no record in the planning files at the city that the use of this property was ever approved when it was a juvenile detention facility, when it was a juvenile court facility. As you mentioned, Justice Conan Camp, in 1996, the county constructed a new juvenile detention center and ceased using the property at 703 Adams as a jail facility. Since that time, it's been used without city authorization for various things. One of them was a school, I believe, which is a much more compatible use than a jail, but it still was not an authorized use.
It was a school. It was a Catholic parochial school before that, from up until like 1975, it was a Catholic parochial school. So obviously, it's a non-residential use that's been there for a very, very long time.
That's true. However, schools are much more compatible with residential zoning than jails are. We have schools all over Rapid City located in the middle of residential areas. They're desirable places to put schools. It's convenient for the students to get to them. Jails are not compatible with residential areas. And I might add that within a block and a half of this location is Central High School, the state's largest high school. So we've got a jail in a residential zoning area next to the state's largest high school. The city believes that that is not a compatible land use and the jail should be located elsewhere.
Well, I think historically I would assume that the county never got permission from the city for any of its jails or courthouses. They just bought the land and built them, didn't they?
That may be an accurate statement. but that doesn't excuse them from complying with the law today. The fact that they ignored the law before is no excuse for continuing to do so. When the county decided that they wanted to put this jail facility at 703 Adams Street, they applied to the city for a change in our comprehensive plan, change in our zoning ordinance, a conditional use permit, and the 11-6-19 review that's before you today.
But aren't they grandfathered in at some non-residential use? I mean, you can't even tell me when this area was zoned residential. So obviously there must have been a building there before that was used in a non-residential sense.
That's probably true, Justice Abrams, but any grandfathering that they may have been entitled to stopped a year after they quit using the property as a jail. Non-conforming uses in South Dakota are allowed to continue for a period of 1 year, are allowed to continue when property is rezoned. So even if it was zoned at some point in a manner that was allowable for a jail, once they quit using it as a jail, they had a year when they could go back to using it as a jail. When that year was up in 1997, they lost any non-conforming status or grandfather that they may have been entitled to.
Is that by statute or by ordinance?
It's both. There is a state statute on it. I don't have it on the tip of my tongue. I believe it's in Chapter 11-6, maybe in Chapter 11-4.
So what you're seeking then, in essence, is some type of a court order shutting the operation down?
That's right. We don't want to see a jail facility located in a residential zoning district. It's not a compatible land use. It conflicts with our comprehensive plan for development and our adopted zoning ordinance.
Do you have, then, other areas of Rapid City that are permissible to operate a jail, or are they just looking at going outside the city?
No, there are other areas located within the city that it's permissible. In fact, the city is right now considering a location to construct one of the state's newly funded jail facilities on Highway 79 near a landfill. That's located within the corporate city limits. Jails are appropriate uses in publicly zoned areas. There's currently a large jail in downtown Rapid City, and Community Alternatives of the Black Hills operates a facility within the city limits of Rapid City. So there are other places where these facilities can be located in compliance with the city's zoning ordinance.
The problem for the county is that this is a facility that's already been used as a jail. It wouldn't have to be much of a redesign, if any, whereas the new spots you're talking about would require a new construction.
The current facility certainly has advantages in terms of cost, but in terms of the impact on the city, the surrounding area, the cost is negligible. And that's something that we didn't even get into in the lawsuit. That's something that would come up in the balancing of interest test if the circuit court had applied the rule from the Lincoln County versus Johnson case. We didn't even get to that point. The court simply ruled that based on 11-6-21 and its interpretation, the county could simply overrule the Planning Commission, not the City Council, the Planning Commission, and proceed with its project. Circuit Court also ruled that the rule from Lincoln County, the balancing of interest test, was inapplicable because Rapid City is located within Pennington County. We weren't talking about extraterritorial jurisdiction.
Is there really a distinction without a difference?
I don't think it is, Justice Center. The Planning Commission is a recommending body to the City Council. They don't have authority to bind the city in any way. All of the city's comprehensive plans and zoning ordinances are ultimately approved or enacted by the City Council. That's the body with responsibility for enforcing the planning and zoning ordinance, for adopting those regulations. The Planning Commission merely makes recommendations.
Say I'm just going to build a house, I still have to get the approval then of the City Council if there's a rezoning. Do they do all approvals or just because this is a jail?
No, the City Council does all of the zoning ordinance. So if you're going to construct a house in an area that's zoned for residential use, you don't need to come to the City Council or the Planning Commission. You simply have the right to use your property that way. If the county had proposed to build this facility in a publicly zoned area, an area where jails may be permitted or permitted as conditional uses, they still have to come to the city under 11-6-19 because we have construction or authorization of a public facility. That section you can't get around. Whenever there's public money going into buildings or to roads, you bring it to the Municipal Planning Commission for their consideration. But if it conforms with the adopted comprehensive plan and the adopted zoning ordinances, there's no reason the Planning Commission wouldn't approve that use. It's in accordance with the comprehensive plan. The Planning Commission is only going to disapprove in cases where there is a conflict, as there was in this case.
All right, now what happens, though, if the Planning Commission approves? Doesn't that end the process? The City Council doesn't need to take the issue up if the Planning Council approves.
If the Planning Commission approves, the statute does not specifically say it must go to the Municipal Council. I think part of that may be some artful drafting of the statute. 11.6.19 requires the municipality and other governing bodies to present their proposed projects to the Planning Commission. It would be redundant for the City Council to present their project, get approval, and then approve their own project again. But in cases where you have a non-municipal body, a county commission, a school board, it's absolutely important for the Municipal Council to be aware of what's going on. If the use of the property conforms to the comprehensive plan and zoning ordinance, then the City Council has already approved that use when they approved the zoning ordinance that allowed the use on that property. In cases where the use is not approved, where the Planning Commission disapproves of the county's or the school board's proposed project, the Planning Commission is required by statute to report to the City Council, not to another board or official, but to the City Council. And I'd invite the court to compare that language in 11.6.20 and 11.6.21 with language in 11.6.37. 11.6.20 contains language that requires the municipality by a two-thirds vote to approve the use that the Planning Commission disapproved. And that's true for municipal projects.
You call it inartful drafting, and maybe you're right. But the way it looks, you know, the way the statute is written, it appears that if a non-conforming use is approved by the Planning Commission, it never gets to the City Council. It's done. The Planning Commission, you say it has no authority, but it looks to me by looking at the statute that it does have authority. Once it approves it, there's no need to go to the council at all. And then my follow-up question to that is, I think I've heard your answer to this one, but if that's so, if you don't need to go to the City Council upon an approval by the Planning Commission, isn't the effect of 11.6.21 to turn a disapproval into an approval in 11.6.19, so therefore you bypass the City Council? Or is that more inartful drafting?
To answer your first question, if the Planning Commission approved something that was not in conformance with the Comprehensive Plan and Zoning Ordinance, I would argue that that would be an ultra vires act. The Planning Commission is bound by the ordinances passed by the governing body. They don't follow those ordinances. They've acted outside the scope of their authority. With regard to your second question, I think inartful drafting is a possibility there, or probability. The language appears at first blush to bypass the City Council, but you only get that result if you look at that language very narrowly. I would remind the court that the statutes that we're talking about today, or the codified sections that we're talking about, were enacted as part of the same statute in 1949. 11.6.21 amounts to one sentence out of that statute. In order to decipher the meaning of the whole statute, you've got to look at the entire thing. 11.6.20 is a part of that. The language in 11.6.20 at the very end of the statute, and then shall have the power to proceed, is part of the key here. There is nothing authorizing anyone to proceed in 11.6.21.
In your view, is this plan of regulation that the city has enacted, does this also cover, say, if the U.S. government wanted to build a post office or the state of South Dakota wanted to build a game and fish office, or do you seek to regulate all other governmental entities or just counties?
I think the plain language of the statute sets out that any time there's a public construction project, it needs to be presented to the City Council or to the Planning Commission for approval. So I think the plain language of the statute says the answer to that question is yes, Mr. Chief Justice.
Okay, thank you.
I would remind the court, though, that that's beyond the scope of what's before the court today. We have a city-county dispute, not a state, city, or a federal government city.
Well, but we're looking at an overall plan of regulation, and so I just wanted to know how broad a scope you thought it had.
I think it's got a very broad scope, Your Honor. Um, I'd like to talk a little bit about the balancing of interest test that this court adopted in 1977 in Lincoln County versus Johnson. In that case, the court considered several different tests and rules to apply in cases of intergovernmental land use disputes. After rejecting the traditional government immunity, the court adopted this balancing of interest test.
Wasn't that adopted, though, because there was not a statute that covered that particular situation?
That's what the court said, that there was not a statute.
Don't we have a statute in this case?
The same statute was on the books at the time the court decided the Lincoln County case, Your Honor. And in fact, the court, in a footnote in that case, noted that there was no exception found in chapters 11.2, 11.4, or 11.6. So the court considered, at least implicitly, the existence of this statute and rejected it as an exception. I think the court in the case talked about extraterritorial jurisdiction. That's a term that is specific to municipalities. Only municipalities gain extraterritorial jurisdiction in the planning and zoning context. Counties have a limited jurisdiction. They're stuck within their county borders. But as cities plan and adopt comprehensive plans and zoning ordinances, their jurisdiction expands beyond their boundaries. In the Lincoln County case, the city of Sioux Falls was acting not only outside the city limits, but outside its extraterritorial jurisdiction. They wanted to act in contravention of the county's, Lincoln County's in that case, zoning ordinance. The court, in adopting the balancing of interest test, set out a procedure. The procedure is that the intruding jurisdiction, in that case, the city of Sioux Falls, in our case, Pennington County, go to the city or the host jurisdiction's planning authority and seek changes. If they're unsatisfied with the changes, they go to the circuit court. That's the test. That's what the circuit court should have applied here. We have an extraterritorial application because Pennington County has no planning and zoning jurisdiction within the city limits of Rapid City. So any use of land within the city of Rapid City is governed by the city, not by the county.
I'm backing up just a minute. When the ultimate decision was rendered by the city, did they turn down the county's request specifically because this was a jail, or on a broader scope that it wasn't a house in a residential area?
I think the basis for the denial was that it was not an approved use in a medium-density residential zoning district. It could have been a factory. It could have been a dump. I think the fact that it was a jail is only relevant to show that it was not an approved use in the residential zoning
district. Which is basically a house.
Basically, it's a house, apartment complexes. There may be some other coordinate uses,
okay,
like schools.
I didn't mean to get you off your track. If you want to return to the Lincoln County case, go ahead, but that just popped in my mind.
The distinction in Lincoln County that the court raised as far as extraterritorial jurisdiction is what the circuit court relied on. The circuit court looked at a definition from Black's Law Dictionary, but a close reading of the Lincoln County case will show that the term extraterritorial jurisdiction was used in the context of planning and zoning jurisdiction. I don't think there would be any dispute that the city would be able to prevent Minnehaha County from coming to Rapid City and opening a jail in a residential zoning district. The difference between Minnehaha County and Pennington County's planning and zoning jurisdiction in Rapid City is exactly the same. There is no difference. Neither one of them has any planning and zoning jurisdiction in Rapid City. Since the city of Rapid City could keep Minnehaha County out, we should be able to keep Pennington County from putting that jail in that location.
Well, but of course there is a joint jurisdiction that this legislature has granted in that 3-mile area outside the city limits, so it's not quite the same. The legislature has certainly given some consideration to the dynamics between a city and the county in which it's located versus Minnehaha, which is on the other end of the state.
Sure. The joint jurisdiction you've referred to, Chief Justice, is the planning or is the zoning jurisdiction.
Right.
Once there's a comprehensive plan adopted by the city gains exclusive platting jurisdiction within 3 miles of the city limits or equidistant with another municipality. That's exclusive. So the county's jurisdiction is constantly diminished as the city plans and zones and as the city expands its territory. The county's jurisdiction to regulate land use does not exist within the city limits of Rapid City. That's because the city has followed the statutory process, appointed the Planning Commission. We get control of land within the city. The question before the court really can be boiled down to a very simple statement. Can the city enforce its statutorily authorized land use regulations against the county? If the answer is yes, we can have orderly planning. If the answer is no, the willy-nilly planning that the circuit court was concerned about will become rampant. Every time the planning or the county acquires property, they can do whatever they want with that property without regard to any of the wishes of the city council, the governing body with responsibility for enforcing comprehensive planning and zoning actions within the city. For all of these reasons, the city would respectfully request the court reverse the judgment of the circuit court, remand for further proceedings consistent with its opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Green.
Thank you.
Mr. Curran, sir, you have 20 minutes.
May it please the court, counsel. I also want to thank you for the opportunity to be in front of you today. To clear up some questions that Justice Kohlenkamp brought up was that this facility was used as a juvenile detention center from the years 1979 to 1996. And after that, it was used as an alternative school for students with behavior problems. And then that was used through 2001. And then since then, it has been used as a work release facility since May of last year.
So is there any period of time when it was not in use as some one of those similar uses?
There was a period of vacancy between the alternative school and the work release facility. I don't have the exact dates on that, Justice Savers, but there was a period of vacancy, but it was from 2000. It was used as an alternative school up to 2001, and then we opened as a work release facility in 2002, May of 2002.
Did it exist for a year?
It may have. You know, Justice Savers, I'm not sure exactly the time period. May have been less than a year ago.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Did you get to finish your answer?
Yeah, I believe so.
All right. Let's go to the nub. What authority does the city have to regulate county property, if any, in this instance?
I believe under the exact issue, is Mr. Green pointed out, is 11-621. Their authority is the Planning Commission. We went to the Planning Commission. They denied our request under 11-621. We overruled that disapproval and went ahead with construction.
So why bother to go to the commission in the first place if you're going to have the ultimate say in the end anyway?
Because you're going to have two governments. You're going to have competing public bodies. I believe it's in the best interest that you try to work things out intergovernmentally between each other, that you know the other one is doing.
So you're saying as a matter of courtesy, in essence, you would go to the city and try to work it out, but if crunch time comes, the county will ultimately make its decision.
Exactly, Chief Justice. I believe that is correct, along with a school board, sanitary district, water district, any other public body or board has that authority under 11-621. As Mr. Green points out, that it's in artful drafting, but I think there's a reason there, is that there are important public facilities that must be provided, whether it be a water tower, whether it be an airport, whether it be a sanitary landfill. These things are necessities for the public as a whole. And as a community in general, they need these. Yes, certain residents nearby may not like it, but as a whole, and that's where you balance the public of interest, that the greater will benefit versus a few.
Isn't that what's done under the Lincoln County balancing test?
I believe it is, except that I don't believe, strongly believe that the CERC court is correct, that Lincoln County does not apply. As Justice Meyer Henry pointed out, that there is alternative or a statute controlling in this case that does decide, does give deference which way to go, and that is 11-621, that there was a statute to be looked at that was perfectly applicable to the situation here. It may not have been applicable in Lincoln County based upon that it was 4 miles outside of the corporate limits of the city of Sioux Falls. Mr. Green pointed out that, and there's questions asked by this court, that under 11-619, all that is needed is that until and unless the location extent there shall have been submitted to and approved by the Planning Commission. nowhere, once it goes to the Planning Commission, once it is approved, there is no second stamp of approval required by the municipal council. The only time municipal council becomes involved is if it is disapproved under 11620. But under 11621, you have a different breed of property. It's a property owned by a public body. And additionally, 11622 contains the same overruling procedures when it regards to the street to the public facility.
So what we have then would be a circumstance where the county could purchase residential property and build a wastewater treatment plant if they wanted there, regardless of what the city council wanted, regardless of any of the zoning ordinances or the comprehensive plan. Is that, do you think that's what the legislature intended by this legislation?
Well, with 11621, it may have, but there's also checks and balances in regards that you can appeal the decision of the county commissioners under 7827. You can also, under 11-4, I forget the exact statute, but you can also ask for the mandamus action. So there is going to be, they just can't run rampant, as Mr. Green pointed out. There is judicial review at some point if it is appealed. There is a system of checks and balances in place.
Well, what standard would the court use in that case?
It'd be abuse of discretion, I believe. Now,
well, what relief would be available, because you would not be entitled to mandamus or a successful appeal if you're correct that the statute allows you to override the city?
But if the use is so egregious as to affect the public safety or the enjoyment of the neighbor's property, I believe that's going to override 11621. That if it's an extreme burden.
We don't have any statutes or city ordinances that talk about extreme burden or that apply such a standard as you're suggesting.
It may qualify under a public nuisance standard as such.
Well, really, isn't that the balancing test? Why don't we just apply the balancing test and get it over with?
Because this property here is not a new use, Justice Sabres.
It's not a what?
It's not a new use. It's not something we didn't go outside of what needs to be remembered
here.
It's
a new use if you let the use lapse for over a year, isn't it?
Well, I guess I'm saying it's not a new use in the sense that it wasn't bare ground when and put something there. That's what I'm saying, it's new use. If there was more than a year, yes, it would be a different use than previous, but it was there. It was used as a JDC. The neighbors were aware of it. People bought property around it when it was a JDC. So that when I say new use, it's not from being built from the ground up. And additionally, a balance of interest test, Lincoln County shouldn't apply, I believe, that because there's specific legislative authority to the contrary. Here, the Holtz Zoning Authority.
But like Justice Inner mentions, there's specific legislative authority in 11621. Anyway, that would always be the case. But then you say, as a stopgap or something, there's this real egregious test. I don't see where that comes in, really. If 11621 gives the county the absolute right to come in and do whatever they can, whatever they want to.
There's still going to be the checks, though. There's still going to be the ability for an appeal to the circuit court to hold in that, whether it's arbitrary, capricious, or abuse of discretion, the court will still come into play and say and stop the use if it is deemed a public nuisance or a threat to the general welfare of the public as a whole. Here, the Holtz Zoning Authority equals the Planning Commission. It boils down to that we didn't need the municipal council's go-ahead. That is not required by 11619. It's not required by 11621, 11622. And then what the city is trying to say, that the Planning Commission is only a recommending body, that they cannot bind the city. Well, if you look at 11632 and 11637, that if the Planning Commission fails to act in a certain amount of time period in regards to a plat approval or street approval, it is deemed approved without, again, a second stamp of approval from the municipal council. So the, his argument, the planning commission is the host zoning authority, and that is who we went to, and that is all that we need to overrule.
How do you respond to the argument that Section 20 specifically includes the power to proceed, whereas Section 21 does not have that statutory language in there?
Because under 11-6-19, 11-6-20, I view those two statutes together as they apply to certain property, that they apply to property that is not owned by a public body, that the power to proceed, because the planning commission disapproved, it was then flipped and taken back to the municipal council, and then that municipal council decision may be overruled by, or I mean the planning commission's disapproval may be overruled by the municipal council, and then that would give the power to proceed, whereas 11-6-21, it never goes to the municipal council, that once the planning commission disapproval is overruled, we then proceed, because there is no second stamp of approval from the municipal council.
But both sections 20 and 21 deal with one entity overruling another, and one section says after it's overruled you have the power to proceed. The other section does not include that language.
I am uncertain as to why that language is there, Justice, but it makes sense to me in that it is a different class of property in 11-6-20, that it isn't public property. It isn't a public body using property, that because it is public property, that it's a public body other than the municipal council having jurisdiction, that the planning commission's disapproval by that board is overturned, that it goes without saying that we can go ahead. In the other type of property, 11-6-19, 11-6-20, that once that property is approved by the planning commission or disapproved by the planning commission, it sets out that then they can go to the municipal council for approval to overturn that, and then they have the power to proceed. I believe it goes without saying that I'm unsure as to why 11-6-21 doesn't contain the power to proceed, but I believe that it goes without saying that it is inherent within the statute that once the planning commission is overruled, that the public body goes ahead with construction. It says that in 11-6-19 that you need the planning commission's approval that it cannot be built or until it has been submitted to and approved by the planning commission. Well, everything goes to the planning commission. You need approval means the go ahead. It means go ahead and build it. It doesn't say in 11-6-19 that it must also go to the municipal council for a second stamp of approval. I'd like to also point out that, you know, the court pointed to several cases within Lincoln County, and each one of those cases dealt with going outside of the city's or township's corporate jurisdiction. Here, Rapid City sits within Pennington County. I believe all the cases are an exact, there's a big difference there in that we're using property located within Pennington County. There's also a big difference in that Pennington County controls property even outside the corporate jurisdiction of Rapid City, and the two work together on a certain property, whereas we're not going completely into another township or completely into another county to start a use.
You know, though, if the statutes don't dictate the result of a balance, whether balancing must occur, doesn't it make sense when two governmental entities are at disagreement that some type of balancing test should be employed?
I believe it is a good public policy to have a balancing interest, I mean a balancing test. But another significant point in all those cases, Justice Zintors, is that there was not in a statute like 11-6-21, whereas that the host zoning authority could not be overruled. That is a specific legislative authority to the contrary that I believe the court in Lincoln County was looking for, and that is our position. In closing, I'd ask that this court uphold the ruling laid down by the Honorable Judge Johns that we can go ahead and overrule the Planning Commission, that the test proposed by Lincoln County does not apply to the facts before you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Curran. Mr. Green, you have 10 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. To address the point Mr. Curran was just addressing, with regard to specific legislative authority to the contrary. In Lincoln County, the court told us exactly what kind of legislative pronouncement they were looking for. The court referred to specific authority that municipalities could locate waste disposal facilities in any location it wished. If there was a similar statute that said counties can locate jails anywhere they wish, that would be specific legislative authority to the contrary that would eliminate the need for the balancing of interest test. We don't have that statute. I've looked for one, I couldn't find one. The county hasn't pointed out one. There isn't a statute that says you're required to provide jails and you can put them anywhere you want. That doesn't exist. The court in Lincoln County also looked at 11.621 as possible statutory authority to the contrary, and it rejected that. It found no such exception in any of the planning and zoning sectors, whether it was the county in 11.2, city zoning in 11.4, or city comprehensive planning in 11.6. The Lincoln County Court rejected that argument, and this court should also reject that argument. With regard to the matter of judicial review, in this case shows exactly why we need the balancing of interest test to be applied. The county ran roughshod over the city. They asked the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission said no. They asked the City Council. The City Council said no. Pennington County said, we're going to do it anyway. We got to court.
Well, that's not really roughshod. They did absolutely everything they could do under the ordinance to the point where they got the final turn down, and then exercised what they said was a legal option, and that was to overrule the entire process.
Well, what they should have done, Mr. Chief Justice, was follow the Lincoln County procedure that this court established, and they should have went to the circuit court and asked the circuit court to balance the interests. The Lincoln County Court considered that 11.621 provision and rejected it as the specific authority that they have put it up here as. They should have followed the law that this court established in 1977. When we did get to court finally, we were immediately rejected by the circuit court. The county filed a 12B motion that the circuit court implicitly converted to one for summary judgment and ruled for the county. There was no chance to do discovery. There was no chance to bring the evidence to the court to have the interest balanced. Therefore, this court is a prime example of why the court needs to make clear that the balancing of interest test applies not only to a city going outside of its extraterritorial jurisdiction into the county, but to a county coming into a city. Whoever's got land use control in that area is the body that should be the one to grant an exception to any adopted ordinances, not another board or officer. The city municipal council, if they decide that a use, even though not permitted in a certain zoning district, is a good thing for the public, they can simply grant that exception by a two-thirds vote. They don't have to change the ordinances. This is a streamlined review process to promote public construction, public projects, and to ensure that things that are good for the public are done quickly. By going through this review process, it eliminates the need for the county to go through things like conditional use permits. They don't have to appear before the Zoning Board of Adjustment. And even if they did appear before the Zoning Board of Adjustment, the Zoning Board has no authority to grant a use variance. This 11.6.19, 20, 21 process is the streamlined process that the county says we should uphold to facilitate construction of public projects. But it should not be upheld at the cost of control of the municipal land use ordinance. The municipal governing body should maintain that control at all times. It shouldn't be transferred to the county. It shouldn't be transferred to another board or official. Without maintaining control in the municipal governing body, There's no way that the municipal body can control and actively plan and zone.
So no matter how vital, a public facility is needed, you know, the building of a courthouse or a school administration building or any of the other things we can imagine, the city council can always just simply say, nope, not in our backyard, we don't want that, so we're going to exercise our right to veto it regardless.
I think that the city council has that statutory right, but I also think that this court has looked at that possibility, that you may have a rogue city council that won't allow anything to be constructed within the city. When that happens, the body seeking to construct the public project, whether it's a jail or a school, a new road, has the option to go to the circuit court and ask the circuit court to balance the interests.
But if it's clear that the legislature intended this to be a legislative process and not a court process, do we really want the courts injected into all these disputes so we have judges deciding now where the courthouse should be and the jail should be and so forth? If the legislature made it clear that they, by the statutes, that they wanted the wanted to be done by the publicly elected officials.
I think that in cases of intergovernmental dispute that we have before us today, I don't think the legislature has been clear at all about what they want. If the legislature had clearly said the city controls, the county controls, the state controls, the library board controls, then I think the answer is yes, but I don't think the legislature has spoken clearly on that matter. I think they've spoken very ambiguously. I think you have to read all of these sections together to get the full meaning of the statute, and not just the provisions that came out of that statute from 1949. You've got to look at the Planning and Zoning Authority of the county in Chapter 11.2 and the authority of the city in Chapter 11.4 and 11.6. Without reading all of the statutes and realizing that comprehensive planning in this state is being pushed to the municipal level at the expense of the county, I don't think that you can decipher the meaning of a clearly ambiguous statute.
But is it really that ambiguous? Section 19 requires that no building or structure can be constructed or authorized unless approved. And Section 21 says that the commission's disapproval may be overruled. Now, what could the legislature have possibly meant if that did not mean exactly what the county is arguing here, that they have the ultimate right to trump the decision?
I think that sections 19 and 20 are fairly clear. The county's arguing under section 21 that their disapproval or that their overruling of the planning commission gives them something more than the statute clearly says. The statute does not contain those magic words that you asked Mr. Karn about, Justice Zinner. Does not contain the words that say, and then shall have the power to proceed.
But whether you have those words or not, what could this language mean when the legislature says that they have the power? The disapproval may be overruled. Now, what could that possibly mean if it doesn't mean the power to construct or authorize or operate a non-conforming use?
When the Planning Commission disapproves of a project, they're required to report the reasons to the Municipal Council. So the Municipal Council can then overrule by two-thirds of its members. The language in 11.6.21 that authorizes the plan or the county to overrule the Planning Commission changes that disapproval from an approval. So instead of getting the project approved by a two-thirds vote of the municipal governing body, you need a simple majority. I think that's very important.
I think, though, maybe you're not reading 19. I thought you agreed with me earlier that when I asked you about Section 19, you said, and maybe I misunderstood you, that if the Planning Commission approved, you didn't need to go any further. Because all it talks about in 20 is only if the Planning Commission disapproves. If the Planning Commission approves, though, then there must be an, although it doesn't say it here, there must be the right to proceed, although it doesn't say right to proceed in Section 19, because there's no need to go any further once you've got approval in Section 19.
And I think that's implicit from planning and zoning law generally. Whenever you own property and you want to use it in conformance with the adopted comprehensive plan and zoning ordinance, you don't need to come to the government to ask for approval. You simply have the right to proceed. Once the Planning Commission has determined that the proposed public project complies with the zoning ordinance and the comprehensive plan, just like a private party, the government doesn't need further approval. They're using the property in accordance with the adopted regulations and rules.
I guess
in that sense, the city has pre-approved the project.
Well, then why have a planning commission approval and disapproval then, if that's the case? You don't have to go anywhere. Why have Section 19 at all? They have to give either approval or disapproval. If they give an approval, you're done. You're finished. You can go ahead and proceed.
That's right. I think that the reason you have the planning commission is because that public construction is generally very large and it has a big impact on the communities that it occurs in. You want to make sure that your planning commission is aware that that public construction is going to occur so they can recommend further uses of property consistent with that construction and consistent with the use. I see my time has expired.
Thank you, Mr. Green.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Court will be in recess for 10 minutes.